Well, welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. Tonight, I've got a playlist featuring operatic buffoons, foolish, wizened characters who overestimate their abilities with the opposite sex, such as Mayor Gottardo from Rossini's The Thieving Magpie. And we'll hear characters by Wagner, Verdi, and Strauss. Join me for tonight's buffoonery in the Opera Box. Gottardo, mayor of a village outside of Paris, tries blackmail to seduce Ninetta, who's wrongfully accused of thievery, while her father, in the disguise of a vagabond, must sit there while his blood pressure boils. That's from Act Two of Rossini's The Thieving Magpie. And we heard Lorenzo Ragazzo as Gottardo Maria Moreno as Ninetta, and Bruno Pratico as her father. Well, it's just 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, tonight with a playlist of opera buffoons. Buffoon, a ridiculous person, comes from the Latin buffo, for clown, and is also related to buffare, a puff of wind. These puffed-up characters are played with great relish by performers who get to ham it up, and I've got two examples of our next buffoon, Beckmesser, from Wagner's Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg. It's an interesting plot. A young knight, Walter, is in love with Eva, whose father is a master singer. Walter hopes to marry Eva by winning the master singer's contest tomorrow. He isn't a master singer, but he's a friend of master singer Hans Sachs, a kindly shoemaker. On the advice from Sachs, Walter applied for master status by singing a song trial. And as is customary, a judge sits behind a curtain to mark on a slate any time a singer makes an aesthetic error. Walter's judge was the curmudgeonly master singer Beckmesser. He made his chalk marks so often and so loudly from behind the curtain it unnerved Walter, and he failed the trial. Well, in this scene from Act Two, it's evening now, and old Beckmesser comes to Eva's house with his lute to serenade her from the street. The old lecher wants to marry Eva himself. Across the cobblestone street sits Hans Sachs at his bench, hammering shoes. As Beckmesser tries to sing below Eva's window, Sachs raps loudly with his hammer, as if he's marking Beckmesser's many singing errors with his hammer. But Eva is not at her window. It's her handmaid, Lena. and her lover runs out to attack Beckmesser. Well, all the noise rouses the neighbors, who spill out into the street, and suddenly a riot ensues. But the brawl ends abruptly with the town watchman walking by to say, "All is quiet, all is well."
Nichts gelegen, mich dünkt, soll passen Ton und Wort.
Mit euch zu streiten, lasst man den Schweren, sonst denkt ihr mir dran.
Jetzt fahret fort,
bin ganz verwirrt.
So fangt noch mal an, drei Schläge ich jetzt pausieren kann.
Am besten, wenn ich gar nicht beacht, wenn's nur die Jungfer nicht irre macht.
Tag seh ich erscheinen, der mir wohl gefangen tut. Da fasst mein Herz sich einen guten und frischen Mut. Da denk ich nicht an Sterben, lieber an Werben um jung Mädeleins Hand. Warum wohl aller Tage schönster mag dieses sein? Allein ich ihm es sage, weil ein schönes Fräulein von ihrem lieben Herrn Vater wie gelobt hat, ist bestimmt zum Herstand versichtet rein. Der kommt und schaut. Da stehen die Hand, lieblich und Frau, auf die ich halt mein Hoffnung baue. Darum ist der Tag vor schon lang, als ich anfänglich an Sachsen, ihr will mich umwollen.
Ich bin ja stumm, die Zeichen merk ich, wir sprechen dann, derweil lasse die Sohlen sich anziehen.
Herrgott, ich muss, sag's euch, denk ich die Ärger.
Herrgott, fahret fort!
Will heut mir das erzählt, wenn der Bettung Fräulein jung, doch tät der Vater gnüßt, es fliegen, ihm Geister singen, wer sein eigen will sein. Nun gibt es Kunst, das ist Verkunst, und als schenke ich dir meine Kunst. Ihm tücket des Preises Gewunst, verwegen mit wahrer Inbrunst. Um sie Jungfrau zu fallen, sei nun fertig, die Frage dir. Mit den Schuhen hab ich fertig hier. Was heiß ich mir hätte, möchtest du? Mein Wörter spricht, mein Wörter zu. Meister nennen, das wär ich heut gern.
Oh.
Old Beckmesser tries to woo Eva by singing to her from the street, causing a small riot in the town. From Act Two of Die Meistersinger, The Master Singers, by Richard Wagner. We heard Geraint Evans, the great Geraint Evans, as Beckmesser, and Theo Adam as the kindly master singer and shoemaker, Hans Sachs. Herbert von Karajan conducted the Dresden State Orchestra and the Leipzig Radio Chorus. Well, Beckmesser's troubles don't end there. Act Three is the day of the singing contest, and Beckmesser snoops around Hans Sachs' house in the morning, overhearing Walter practicing a song for the contest with Sachs' help. This is what Beckmesser overhears. Well, Beckmesser finds a piece of paper with Walter's lyrics on it, and he tries to quickly memorize this song. He intends to use the beautiful song himself to win the contest. But in the contest, without the paper, he mingles his own street song that we heard with Walter's song, and he garbles the lyrics with words that rhyme, but they're all wrong, confusing the audience. For example, instead of saying Liebestraum, love's dream, he says Laborbaum, liver tree.
Mutter mir geht. An meine Leite stand kein Wein. Sie schämt und wollt mich nicht mehr sehen. Gleich wie ein Kraut umfasst er die Hand meinem Leib. Mit Augen zwinkend, der Hund ist winkend, was ich vor langem verzerrt. Wie flug so halb vom Herd und Leber.
Oh, the lecherous Beckmesser, trying to plagiarize Walter's beautiful song and failing hilariously, from Act 3 of Wagner's Die Meistersinger von Nürnberg, the Master Singers of Nürnberg. Again, we heard the great Gerrit Evans as Beckmesser, Herbert von Karajan conducting the Dresden State Orchestra and the Leipzig Radio Chorus. It's 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to The Opera Box on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a program of opera buffoons. And be sure to stay with me after The Opera Box for a Classic Monday. I'll be your host with a program of music by one composer based on the theme of another composer. And I'll have some tickets to give away for the Boulder Symphony Concert. More information about that during a Classic Monday, that's at 8 p.m., right after The Opera Box. Well, my next example is the Boorish Baron von Ochs, and two scenes from Richard Strauss's bittersweet comedy, Der Rosenkavalier, The Rose Bearer. The rotund and boorish Baron von Ochs plans to marry young, sweet Sophie. The Baron is a member of the aristocracy, but he squandered all of his money. Sophie's parents are wealthy, but they want to be part of the aristocracy, so they arranged for Sophie to marry the Baron. In Act 2, Sophie and the Baron meet for the first time, and he acts like a pompous oaf. He insults everyone, and a young man who loves Sophie tries to avenge her honor, taking a swipe at the Baron with a sword and nicking his shoulder. Amid the confusion, the Baron cries murder and almost fainted. Well, here in this scene, the Baron is alone with his hired matchmaker, drinking some sherry to calm his nerves. And as the Baron gets tippy, he congratulates himself, waltzing drunkenly around the room.
Sie haben mir schon Wein, nun schon habe ich mir von der Füße in Gnaden, weil ich noch gut.
Baron von Ox congratulating himself on arranging to marry the pretty and wealthy young Sophie from Act Two of Der Rosenkavalier. And we heard Manfred Jungwirth as Baron von Ox and Anne Howells as his hired matchmaker. Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic. Well, Ox's victory does not last long. In Act Three, he gets his comeuppance. Now, in Act One, while visiting his cousin, the Marshalin of Vienna, he flirted with her chambermaid. But the maid was really the Marshalin's young lover, Octavian, in disguise. He was in disguise because he didn't want people to know he was a young man in the Marshalin's chambers. So in Act Three, the Marshalin plots to teach the boorish baron a lesson. A tryst is arranged for the Baron to discreetly meet the maid at an inn. While there, he tries to seduce the young maid with food and drink. And in this scene, we're going to hear, just as things are about to go too far, the Marshalin appears. And she explains that the maid is really her young man, Octavian. It dawns on the Baron that he has been had. Turning to his butler, he yells, "Leopold, we're leaving!" But not before some hired children crowd around him, calling him Papa, and all the waiters arrive, presenting him with all of the bills.
Thank you. Delicious, das ganze Quid pro Quo, et offen mit
Baron Ox gets his comeuppance in Act 3 of Der Rosenkavalier, the music of Richard Strauss. And again, we heard Manfred Jungwirth as Baron Ox. Georg Schulte conducted the Vienna Philharmonic and the Vienna Choir Boys, with Regine Crespin as the Marschallin. Well, it's about 17 minutes now before 8 o'clock, and you're listening to the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a playlist of opera buffoons.
This program is brought to you by the KGNU Listener Member and the Boulder Chamber Orchestra, presenting The Elephant in the Room, featuring Yabing Tan, Violin and Brahms Symphony No. 1, September 23rd and 24th. More information at boulderchamberorchestra.org.
I'm going to conclude tonight's Opera Box with one of the biggest buffoons in all of theater, Falstaff, from several of Shakespeare's plays. And one of the greatest adaptations is by Giuseppe Verdi. For his opera, Verdi adapted Shakespeare's play, The Merry Wives of Windsor. And in this scene, we're going to hear from Act Two, the rotund Falstaff imagines himself a great lover, and he sends identical love letters to two wealthy married women who happen to be friends. So the women and their husbands and some friends hatch a plan to teach Falstaff a lesson. He's led to believe that one of the women, Alice Ford, is receptive to his advances. So he festoons himself with a feathered cap and a cane and a lute, and he goes to her home. Well, before he arrives, the wives are making ready with their plans. Alice has a laundry basket hidden behind a screen next to the window overlooking the river. And she's sitting at her dressing table when Falstaff arrives, and strumming on his lute, he proceeds to try to seduce her. She seems to be very receptive when suddenly Alice's friend runs in declaring her husband is on his way home. Alice tells Falstaff to hide behind the screen. Mr. Ford angrily enters, declaring that he knows there's a man in the house. He looks around the room and then storms out to search the rest of the house. Alice tells Falstaff to hide behind the screen. To hide in the laundry basket under the dirty linens, and then she leaves. But unexpectedly, Alice's daughter enters with Fenton, her young lover, and they hide behind the screen and begin kissing. Well, Mr. Ford returns, hears kissing behind the screen, and now he thinks his wife is being unfaithful. There's great confusion, people running and coming and going and yelling all at once. Finally, Mr. Ford pulls the screen aside, and everyone is shocked to see it's his daughter kissing Fenton. Under the linens, Falstaff is suffocating. He tries to pop his head out, but Alice summons her servants, who dump the basket out of the window and into the river.
Passasse a miglior vita, perché lo chiedi? Saresti la mia lady e falsa fil tuo amor.
Povera lady, ven.
Degna di un re. Ti immagino fegiata del mio stemma. Sarfa gemma e gemma, la pompa del tuo sen. Nell'iria ardente mobile dei rai dell'adamante, colpiggia il piede il nobile cerchio d'un guardi infante. Mi stenderai più fulgida, un ampio arco pare.
Dentro non c'entra, è troppo grosso.
Vediamo.
sì, cento, cento.
Corre a chiamare servizi, John, vuoi qui vuoi?
Sarà, a volte sola, salvi, salvi.
Svelto, lesto. Svelto, svelto.
Alai, cisto, confitemi.
Presto, prendiamo il cesto.
Io come un cane
rompo il ceffo.
Guai a te.
Prega il tuo santo.
Faccio un po' le feste da tenere.
Guai a te.
Guai.
Guai.
Faccio un po' le feste
da tenere.
Io ne giochi il perrino.
Guai.
Se
ti piglio.
Non si accorse di nulla.
Si da quanto.
O sorprenderci forse confonderci.
Se da ceffo.
Il rischio del
non si trova, non si coglie. Qua tutti l'ho trovato. Lo c'è Falstaff con mia moglie.
Sozzo, campi tu perato.
Zitto, zitto, pure l'hai dopo. Zitto,
zitto, zitto. Sta sotto, sta sotto.
Zitto, subito, col sconto un faccio.
Noi dobbiamo pigliare dopo, mentre sta rodendo cacio.
Ragioniamo.
Nella ridente,
colpo non ti senza un piano di battaglia, bravo!
E quel calibro con un soffio ci sbaraglia.
La mia tattica maestra, le sue mosse qui a registra. Voi sorrete alla destra, noi sarremo alla sinistra. E questo con piegagliando sfondurando il baluardo.
Bravo, bravo, generale,
aspettiamo il tuo segnale.
Follow
me!
volte. Ho per fatti tuoi, l'ho detto mille volte, questo non fa per voi.
E no, ferma!
Dove? Lascia stare!
Fatelo!
Accaccia!
Falstaff and the Dirty Linens tossed out the window and into the river. The conclusion of Act Two of Falstaff by Giuseppe Verdi. And we heard, surprisingly enough, the great Geraint Evans again, this time as Falstaff, and a whole cast of other superstars. Robert Merrill was Mr. Ford. Ilva Ligabue was Alice Ford. Alfredo Kraus was young Fenton. And Mirella Freni was Ninetta. Well, we're coming up on 8 o'clock. This is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me for this evening's buffoonery. Stay tuned for a classic Monday.
This program is brought to you by the KGNU Listener Member and the Boulder Chamber Orchestra, presenting The Elephant in the Room, featuring Yabing Tan, Violin and Brahms Symphony No. 1, September 23rd and 24th. More information at boulderchamberorchestra.org.
Well, 30 seconds after 8 o'clock, you're listening to A Classic Monday on KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, and streaming live online at kgnu.org. And I'm still your host, Ron Nadell. And if you catch my Classic Monday programs regularly, you know that I usually have some theme that integrates my playlist selections. And tonight, my theme is variations on a theme. Music by one composer based on a theme created by a different composer. We're going to hear music by Johannes Brahms and Ralph Vaughan Williams, Benjamin Britten, Sergei Rachmaninoff, and a team of composers who individually elaborate on the same melody by Henry Purcell. And to add to this experience, I have found the original works that inspired the other composers to create their variations. I found them so you wouldn't have to. And that way we can compare the original versus the variations as well. Plus, I'm going to be giving away tickets to the upcoming Boulder Symphony Concert, which is this Saturday, because it contains Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. I'll tell you more about that later in the program, but join me for tonight's Variations on a Theme. We're going to start with Brahms' Haydn Variations, and there's a bit of mystery with Brahms' Haydn Variations, even after all these years. Brahms wrote his variations on a melody from Haydn's Divertimento for Wind Octet. It's from the second movement, nicknamed the St. Anthony Chorale. It turns out, though, that music scholars a few years ago determined that Haydn did not compose the Divertimento in question, and they are pretty sure that the style of the wind section writing departs from Haydn's and It seems to be that it was composed by Haydn's pupil, the piano maker, Ignaz Pleyel. Brahms composed his variations for two pianos originally, but he designated it Opus 56B. And then after that, he orchestrated it, but he designated the later version as Opus 56A. I don't know what's going on, but here is first the St. Anthony Chorale, composed supposedly by Ignaz Pleyel, followed by the variations on a theme of Haydn of Johannes Brahms.